You'll notice that the 11th verse has three words having to do with power. The first is strength, the second is power, which in the Greek is dynamis, from which we get the English dynamite, of course, and dynamo, and the third is the word might. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us by the resurrection of Christ. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible things and invisible things, whether thrones, and these are references to the various ranks of angels, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in order that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy word. To his name be the praise and the glory. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, I want to pick out four important phrases there. In the 15th verse, Paul says, "He is the firstborn of all creation." In the 17th verse, he says, "He is before all things." In the 18th verse, "He is the head of the body." And later on in verse 18, "He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." These six verses in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through to 20, are concerned with the majesty and the greatness of Jesus Christ. And the theme here is the lordship, or the headship, of Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn. He is before all things. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And it's often said that these are amongst the most Christocentric or Christ-centered verses in all the New Testament. The theme is the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the lordship and headship of Christ is not a message that is peculiar to the letter to the Colossians. In a sense, the whole message of the gospel is about Christ's lordship. And indeed, the entire message of the New Testament is a message that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We were thinking of this very particularly last Sunday morning in connection with some of the miracles of Christ in the Gospels. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus performing what are sometimes called the mighty acts of God. And these miracles of Jesus are often called by scholarly folk representative miracles. That's to say, they are only a selection or a representation of all the mighty works that he performed. We do not have all the mighty works that Jesus performed written down in the Gospels. In fact, John tells us that if all the works that Jesus did were written down in books, the whole world would not be a library big enough to hold all these books. And so in the Gospels, we have only a selection of miracles. A few are recorded. And these miracles are representative miracles, and they are recorded to proclaim to the world the lordship of Jesus Christ. For example, he speaks to the demons, and the demons obey him. Jesus is the Lord of hell. He pronounces the word of forgiveness and of pardon. Jesus is Lord of sin. He speaks to the waves, and they obey him. Be muzzled, is what he says to the sea, and it obeys him. Jesus is the Lord of nature. He commands water, and it turns to wine. He tells fishes to swarm and to multiply. Jesus Christ is the Lord of nature. Nature obeys him. He speaks to corpses. On three occasions, he spoke to the dead, and the dead came to life again. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the grave. He touched the lepers, and they became pure again. Jesus Christ is the Lord of uncleanness, Lord of hell, Lord of sin, Lord of nature, Lord of the grave, Lord of uncleanness. Jesus is Lord of all. As Peter said to the centurion Cornelius, he had come preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And that was the broad message of the church in the book of Acts. That was the message, the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Some of the older Scottish preachers used to put it like this. They used to say that the whole Bible was a book about the lordship of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, Christ's lordship is prophesied. Men looked forward to the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and unto him shall the gathering of the peoples be. Christ's lordship is prophesied in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, Christ's lordship is demonstrated in the mighty works of power and of healing, of salvation, and of forgiveness. In the book of Acts, Christ's lordship is preached. In fact, the word that was used of Jesus being Lord, the Greek word kurios, is the translation for the word Jehovah in the Old Testament. And the preachers in the book of Acts were making it quite clear that this Jesus of Nazareth was none other than the Jehovah of the Old Testament, made flesh. Jesus was preached as Lord. in the epistles, Jesus' lordship is expounded or explained or opened up. In the last book of the Bible, the Apocalypse, Jesus is unveiled as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Judge of the universe, with all authority committed to him by God his Father. And that is the entire message of the Scriptures. Christ prophesied in the Old Testament, demonstrated in the Gospels, preached in the book of Acts, explained in the epistles, and revealed in the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible. And the conclusion is the same. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And what you find on that rather grand major scale, the whole Bible, you also find writ small in individual books. For example, it's instructive to read of how Paul describes his conversion. In the book of Acts, Paul gives three descriptions of his conversion. In Acts chapter 9 and at verse 3, we read that a light flashed from heaven. And you remember that Paul was blinded for a while by his vision of the risen Christ on the Damascus Road at his experience of conversion. A light from heaven flashed. Later on in the book of Acts, in chapter 22, at verses 6, 9, and 11, this is how he describes his conversion. A great light shone, so that I could not see for the brightness of that light. Now you see what's happened. What started off as a light has become a great light shining, so that I could not see for the brightness of that light. And later on in the book of Acts, he describes his conversion again in chapter 26, and he speaks about a light brighter than the sun. Now, do you see what's happening? The older Paul gets, the greater Christ means to him. A light from heaven, a great light, a light brighter than the sun. In other words, the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ became more and more real to him with the passing years. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I'm not asking if you call him Lord and Master. Anyone can call Jesus Lord and Master. I'm not even asking if you are a church member. I'm asking, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is he the head of your house? Is he the head of your marriage? Is he more important to you than your religion? There are some who are terribly preoccupied with their religion and their churchmanship. And I notice that many of the people who are preoccupied with churchmanship are not very interested in Jesus Christ. You know, you can make an idol of the church, and you can make an idol of your churchmanship. Do you allow Jesus Christ to exercise his lordship in your home, in the place where you work? Is he the Lord of your emotional life? Are the emotions and the loves inside your heart underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you submit your financial affairs, the stewardship of your money and your time and your pleasures, to the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ? Paul's testimony was that the older he got, the greater Jesus became. A light from heaven, a great light, a light brighter than the sun. And it is this lordship and headship of Christ that stand out from these six verses in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to these words again. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is before all things. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, these verses about the majesty and the greatness of the man, Christ Jesus, have a very special kind of background. In a way, they were provoked from Paul by something that had happened amongst the Christians in Colossae. If you read right through the letter to the Colossians, you will find that it's one of the richest letters in the New Testament. It's full of Christ. Every other verse is about Jesus Christ. It's full of his greatness and his sovereignty and his majesty and his Godhead. And all of this was provoked from Paul as a kind of answer to a special problem that had arisen in Colossae. This problem is sometimes called the Colossian heresy. And what had happened was this. No sooner had the work of Christ been established in Colossae, and no sooner had men and women been touched by the power of the gospel, than along came a new group with another message. And these men were called the Gnostics. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. The Gnostics. And their name came from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And these Johnny-come-latelys were the spiritual snobs in the early church. Paul preached salvation by grace. Free grace. You don't have to work for it. It's free. The Gnostics preached salvation by knowledge. In other words, the more you knew, the more saved you could be. Salvation by knowledge. Paul said that any man could come directly to God through Jesus Christ. He is the way to God. He is the only way to God. And through Jesus Christ, sinners can come into the very throne room of God's grace. The Gnostic said, no, 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 no. God is far too holy for that sort of thing. God is too remote. He's too distant. He must be approached. So you ask an angel to ask an angel to ask an angel to ask an angel to talk to Mary, to talk to Jesus, to talk to God. In other words, Jesus was only one of many mediators, middlemen, between man and God. And if you read right through the letter to the Colossians, you'll find that Paul hammers home the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and the greatness of Jesus Christ as the only way to God the Father. You see, what had happened was this newfangled message from the Gnostics was poisoning the church. Salvation by knowledge. Jesus only one amongst other mediators. And it was ruining the church. And so Paul holds up here in these verses the majesty, the lordship, and the greatness, and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn of creation. He is before all things. He is the head of the body. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And what he does is this. He divides creation into two. And he speaks about the old creation and the new creation. And he ascribes the lordship and the headship of Jesus Christ to each of these creations. Jesus is the Lord of the old creation because he made it. Jesus is the Lord of the new creation because he also made it. Well, what do I mean by the old creation? Just this. The creation in which we now live. The suns and the moons and the stars, the nebulae, the black holes in outer space, the galaxies, universes, beyond universes, beyond universes that the eye of man will never see. And beyond that visible world, the invisible world, angels, principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, they were all made by Jesus Christ. They were brought into being by the word of his power. They were all created by him. He is the firstborn of creation. He is before all things. But you say, didn't God make everything? Well, of course, God did make everything. But he made everything by Christ. It was through Christ that God the Father created the universe. Christ is the co-agent in creation along with his Father. He is, in the immortal words of the Nicene Creed, he is the maker of all things, visible and invisible. In the beginning was the Word, says John in his prologue to the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In many ways and at different times, God spoke in ages past to our fathers, says the writer to the Hebrews, but he has in these last days spoken to us in his Son, by whom he made the worlds. From him, through him, and to him are all things. Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the old creation by virtue of the fact that he made it. Listen carefully. And men and women, whether they are Christians or not, are under an obligation to bow the knee to Jesus Christ by virtue of their creation. He made them. The Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Charles, Lady Diana, Reagan, Brezhnev, the man who delivers your milk, the man who sweeps the street, they are all under an obligation to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, whether they're Christians or not, because Christ made them. He is the Lord of the old creation. Have you bowed the knee to Jesus Christ yet? Have you humbled yourself before your Creator, Christ? Have you gone through the humiliation of acknowledging Jesus? as your Lord. But as well as being Lord and head of that old creation, Christ is the Lord and the head of the new creation. Well, what's the new creation? Simply this: that since the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are now two sorts of men in the world. There are those who belong to the old creation. They are born only once. They are the old men. They are the old Adams. They are unpardoned, unforgiven, wrong with God. And there are those who belong to the new creation. They are the new men, the new humanity, of which Jesus Christ, by his resurrection, is the head. There are new men in the world today because Christ rose. Not just moral men, or righteous men, or religious men. You can be moral and righteous and religious without being new. But there are new men in the world today, brand new men, twice born, born twice. Their sins are forgiven, they're pardoned, they're restored. They are the new Adams. And they are the new creation brought into being by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this new creation is nothing less than the church, the new society, God's new society, new people, new men and women. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. And that new creation came into being on the Easter morning when Jesus rose and broke out of a sealed grave. The angels rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out. He had already gone. But to let the world in. And the New Testament goes on to say that not only Jesus rose that first resurrection morning, those who are in Christ and those who are destined to be in Christ rose with him. He is the head of the new creation, and he takes his new creation with him. So you see, there are only two creations. There's the old one and the new. There are only two sorts of people. There are people who belong to the old creation, and there are those who belong to the new. Which of these two creations do you belong to this morning? Are you an old Adam, born only once, not seriously converted to Christ? Your sins are not forgiven. You are unpardoned. There is still a load of guilt in your heart. Do you belong to the old? Or do you belong to the new? Christ's new society, the new humanity, the new breed of men, born twice, new Adams, new men, transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus. Well, if you do belong to the old, why don't you cross over today? Why don't you receive Jesus Christ? Why don't you bow the knee to Jesus Christ? He is the Lord of the old and the new. And someday, the Bible tells us that every knee must bow and acknowledge that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why not bow willingly now rather than bow unwillingly when he comes? Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the firstborn of creation. He is before all things. He's the head of the body, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why not give him his lordship? He is Lord of all, said Peter. And as the old Scottish preachers used to say, if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of his word.